Are you okay?
Don't care.
Great. Bring on the bubbly. Babe.
I don't even know how to start this. Hi, Podsters. Welcome back. This is Teenie, and this is Are You Okay? The podcast, which I'm going to allow you to determine after you listen to this episode whether I'm okay or not. And it has been a disturbingly long time since I have released an episode. And of course, the first thing I want to do as a recovering or in recovery people-pleasing empath is to apologize. But that would go entirely against the point and premise of this today's episode, which is no is a complete sentence. I don't even remember how to do this. I have pressed play multiple times. This is also like the third time that I've tried to record this. But for those of you that don't know, I live on a cruise ship. I have been here since February, and it is impossible to find quiet. I sat down to record this a couple of days ago, and all of a sudden my room just started shaking. So here we are with attempt number 3. Happy to be here, ready to work. That's ship life for you. And I am on a cruise ship in my cabin in the middle of Alaska, and I have been here, like I said, since February. Wow, I'm just repeating myself. I'm nervous. I don't remember. Does anyone still listen to my show? You better. And I'm going to unpack all of it for all of you. I'm going to get into the nitty gritty of why I've entitled this episode No is a Complete Sentence. I'm going to give you a full life update. We're going to talk mantras. I've got a whole game plan for you today, but you're just going to have to be patient with me because my brain is all over the place. That's what happens when you have been removed from your usual life, and your usual life wasn't even your usual life because it was a pandemic in Canada and you were, stuck in your house pretending you were an actor for 2 years. Wasn't pretending, was actually working, did manage to book work, as you all know. And I started this podcast back in February 2021, and it was for my 30th birthday, and it was fucking incredible. It was a blast. It provided such a creative outlet for me, and it honestly saved me during the second year of the pandemic, where it was just this washing machine of bullshit. We were still in the same place that we were, if not worse. And I was able to have these incredible conversations with incredible people. I learned so much. You all learned so much. And that's why I have felt a lot of guilt about, quote unquote, leaving this podcast behind when I took this cruise ship contract. I didn't have any intention of quitting or not releasing episodes. I had every intention of keeping up with it, but it just got really hard for me. And I'm going to unpack all of that, why I was really overwhelmed, what went down. But before I do that, I need to let you guys know how it's been, what I have been up to for the last 8 months working on a ship and being away, and just what all of that looked like. So let's get into it. I have sincerely missed all of you, and I need to thank all of you for supporting me so far with this podcast journey, and the fact that you're all still listening. And for those of you who have been here since the beginning, we did make a little promise to ourselves. So when I released episode 1, and for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, please bear with me for a hot sec. You will learn something in the next 2 minutes, or feel free to fast forward. So when I first started the show back in February 2021, on my first episode for my 30th birthday, I talked a lot about manifestation and how this podcast came to be. And so when I was going through a really hard time, 8 years ago, I talk about it on the first episode of the show, I discovered The Secret, which is that really famous book about manifestation, the law of attraction, the abundance mindset, yada, yada, yada. And there's a practice in that book that talks about writing a check to yourself for a certain amount of money, an amount of money that you wish to manifest. And you can actually download the check off of The Secret's website, or you can just write a check to yourself, which is what I've always done. And I encouraged all of the listeners, the podsters, to write a check to themselves. And then in a year's time, we were going to look at that check. Oh my gosh, I need to pause the show. One sec. So sorry, I just got a FaceTime from all of my girlfriends back in Montreal because my girl Dana is getting married today, and it is the third wedding that I have missed this summer being here. But you know, all the sacrifices that come with being an actor in general, nothing new there, but this is definitely a hard one for me, and she looks fucking beautiful. She looks amazing. She looks like herself. And her little boys, she has two little boys, Benjamin and Leo, and they're just like adorable. And everybody looks so good. The girls look so good in their bridesmaid dresses. I want to die. I wish I was there. Great. We're not going to dwell on that too much. I love you, Dana. Congrats. Go marry Max. Let's go. Missing that wedding, and now you're going to be able to hear the humdrum of my fridge, which I hope is providing a really nice, relaxing undertone to this episode. Okay, so where were we? Hold on. Let me pull up my notes here. I was really taking this one seriously, guys. I wrote some shit down instead of just, running my mouth. So we were talking about The Secret and the check. And so anyone who was a part of that exercise needs to go back and look at that check. It has been a year and a half instead of a year. Again, apologies. But I just want to say that I have managed to hit that number. So there's a reason why I have waited a year and a half to look at that check, because at a year's mark, I wouldn't have reached that amount. And I was able to do so with this contract, which is a massive perk, and I'm eternally grateful and a huge reason why I decided to come out here. And I'll get into that in a little bit as well. So you want to pull out that check. You want to see if you hit that number. Now, if you didn't hit that number, why? You know, that's just as much of a valuable exercise as hitting it. Of course, we always want to hit the number. Hello. But you have to ask yourself why, what happened, what came in the way of that, and what did I learn, kind of thing. So, you know, you could have inherited the money, saved the money, got a new job that allowed you to make that kind of money. You know, it's like there's no wrong turns. I just think that we make mistakes as humans, but there's actually no such thing as a wrong turn, because everything has gotten you to where you are today, and there's a reason why. And so it's all part of the journey, babes. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that little exercise from episode one, so much fun. So everybody go back and take a look at that check and let me know. Let me know where you're at with all of that. And if you're like, fuck you, we never did that, Teeny, then great. Okay, let's move on. And before we move on, I really do want to take a moment to acknowledge everyone that's supported me so far. Pretty sure I've already said that. See, I can't even remember how to do this. This is just going to be like Teeny emptying her brain on the microphone 8 months later. So I hope you all enjoy that. And whether you've listened to my show, shared my show with a friend, shared it on social media, bought my merch, subscribed, like you are a part of this community and this team and this platform. Not that I'm an influencer, but you know, it did kind of expand and grow, and it was just so amazing to actually accomplish something creative that didn't come from booking a show or auditioning or having to like put on a character and often like not be my authentic self. And this is what I've been able to do with this podcast. And so circling back, you know, I did have every intention to keep building on it while I was out here, because I realized that I am really good at it. And funny story, guys, we're allowed to compliment ourselves. We should like ourselves and we should think that we're good at things. So I do think that I am good at this and I enjoy it. And some of the interviews I had were life-changing and life-changing for all of you. And we laughed and we entertained. And that's always been the point of this show. When I started it, I didn't really have like a direct idea or a direct audience. And again, I'm going to unpack that further after I give you my life update and how that contributed to me taking a step back from the show, because I just got so overwhelmed with the big picture. And for anyone who's worked on a ship, it is just so hard to do anything but work on the ship. Like when you're here, you're in this bubble where you're performing with these incredible people, you're traveling, you're living in a different dimension, and you want to throw yourself into that experience and you want to be able to soak it all in. But it is almost impossible to sometimes keep those outside goals alive. And that's like a massive challenge of ship life. And anyone that accomplishes that, like, kudos to you. Clap, clap. Okay. So now that you know where I'm at in the world, I'm going to be home next month, October 2nd. Holy shit. I can't believe I'm already here. Like the time, as much as it was long, it definitely flew by. And the reason why it flew by is that we had these insane highs and we also had, you know, these lows. And because I do enjoy my job and my reputation, I'm not going to get into the lows too much. I think the lows go without saying, which is like, you know, working on a cruise ship during a pandemic, being away from all of your friends and family for a significant amount of time. And, you know, I've missed a lot of big events like weddings, which you just know because you just went on that journey with me. Births, you know, congrats to all of my girls who have gotten married and had these beautiful children, and congrats to all my girls who have hit these career milestones and have done solo traveling and just like all of these amazing things while I've been gone. Like I've been able to watch so many of my friends and family like live their lives and accomplish big things, and so have I while I've been out here. You know, I've hit some goals and I've saved the amount of money that I needed to save, and I'm excited to go home and just like jump right back into my life, even though I have no idea what that's going to look like. So in addition to all of that like hard stuff, being away and missing out, I did lose my cat while I was out here. So for those of you that don't know, I had adopted my best friend's cat with my boyfriend, and we were madly in love with this cat. Moo was just like not even real. He was such a gift to our lives. And trigger warning for anyone who has lost a pet, obviously, please fast forward if this is too much to listen to, but it was devastating. It happened pretty early on, and Moo was only 2 years old, but he is a Himalayan Persian cat, which is like a luxury cat, and they can be bred with, you know, complications that we had no idea about. I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't know, and I don't think I'll ever know what happened to him. And it doesn't matter. What matters is that we lost him and that you need to go hug your fur babies today, because it's just like they are just a gift. Like, they are just a gift. There's no rhyme or reason. I truly believe that your pet chooses you. And this cat is just... It makes me really upset actually talking about it. So, and if Raph is listening to this, which he should be as a supportive boyfriend, it's going to be very triggering for him to listen to too, because it was just really, really hard. And we miss him, and we're going to have to get another animal to fill the void. Great. Also another low. My skin got so bad while I was here. I think it was just stress, change of environment, hormonal. So my best girl Tash actually got me on SkinCeuticals. Like, I take care of my skin. I'm very strict morning and night, and SkinCeuticals is not cheap, and it truly did transform my skin. But for whatever reason, I had a colony of cystic acne on my chin for probably over 3 months. Like, they just kept popping up. And guys, I'm talking like thick pimples, you know, that you couldn't even pop. And granted, we were wearing KN95s and, it, you know, just a lot of makeup in the shows and just stressed out in different water, and it just wasn't getting better. So finally I decided, I did go to the dermatologist in the end, and I'm now on spironolactone, which is a hormone blocker and a medication that people, like, it's a blood pressure medication. Weird, but it works. And of course, every dermatologist wants to throw Accutane in my face, but I just don't believe my skin is that bad for Accutane. Not that it needs to be that bad, but I'd rather not have like super chapped lips for a year and like a dry vagina. So I'm just like, Accutane's not for me, even though I know it has like helped so many people. But the spironolactone works. So my skin has cleared, which is a lovely perk because it was starting to drive me insane. And another thing I kind of want to touch on about why it's hard to be away is long distance. And I want to tread lightly with this topic because I do know that it's not for everyone. And I'm not trying to be like, if you don't do long distance, like you're not in a strong relationship. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say that like you need to operate within your reality. And if you live in a reality where long distance could happen at some point for you or your partner, I think it's important to just like be with someone that's okay with that. You know, I hear a lot of, I could never do that. It's like, well, why? Why could you never do that? Because it's not in your reality to ever do it, or because like you're terrified of it, because you have trust issues, because you don't want to be alone. Like what is the reasoning why you never want to do that? And I just think that we should always be leveling up as humans and as like people in relationships, and we can't like lose ourselves. If you need to follow a dream and you need to be away for that dream, you need to be with somebody that supports that. Like, end of story, non-negotiable for me. But I also understand that that's like my life and what I signed up for, and the average person does not sign up for that. So that's that on long distance. Now that we've like kind of gone through what's so hard about being here, let's talk about the highs. I have so many highs that I want to share with all of you. You know, like I said, I've been here since February. I have gone on a roller coaster, and there has been like, I have seen and done the coolest shit with some of the coolest people that I've ever met. So let's get into it. I am quite frankly and quite literally obsessed with this cast. Now, as an actor, I feel like I say this all the time, so my friends and family are going to be like, we know, Teenie, you love your cast. Have you ever met a cast that you didn't love? This cast specifically is like not okay. The most unwell group of individuals that I've ever worked with. They're hilarious, always down, super supportive, always down for a party. Everyone loves to kiki. Everyone's always on. And if someone's having a bad day, like there is always someone to talk to. And what I also particularly enjoy about this group is that we care about what we do on stage. Everyone is giving full out. Everyone is always like there in the moment. Like nobody, we don't have this like big group of like complainers. Sure, we're complaining about, you know, things because we live on a cruise ship and it's not easy. But at the end of the day, it's a very like positive group, but not a toxic positivity group, if that makes sense. So, you know, at the end of the day, when you meet a group of people that you're going to be with for the next 10 months of your life, truly the only thing you have in common when you meet these people is that you are going to be together for the next 10 months. You're from all walks of life, all walks of training, schools, different countries, different people. You know, some people have had easy lives, hard lives. I mean, there's no such thing as an easy life, but you know what I mean? You know, trauma versus, you know, limited trauma. And it's just like, when you meet, you have this contract in common, and it can go one of two ways. Amazingly, or not so amazingly. And it's truly been so up and down, but it has just been incredible to work with this group. And it's one thing to like do a regional show where, you know, you're booked for 8 weeks doing a show. Maybe you live with the cast, maybe you don't, but at the end of the day, you kind of have your own life. Or it's one thing to like do a long-standing show in Toronto or on Broadway, and like you go home at the end of the night. You spend all day by like doing whatever you need to do. It's your life. You go to the theater, you're with these people, and then at night you go home and you choose when you want to hang out with them. This is like eat, sleep, work, play, shit, fight, laugh, cry, all in one place. Like literally all in one place. you know, we eat together, we party together, we get off in port together, we cry together. Like when my cat died, everyone just swarmed my cabin with support. Like, you know, we want to go zip lining, or we want to go to the glacier in Alaska, or we want to do this. It's together. And we have the benefit of meeting each other prior to coming on the ship. We do 2 months of rehearsals in Toronto. So we have the luxury of like having a massive family and a massive group of friends before we even get on the boat. And, you know, that's a lot in comparison to the average crew member who comes here on their own from a different country and they have to make friends like out of nowhere and out of nothing. And, you know, actors, we're all obsessed with each other and we all are oversharers and like making out before we've even said hello. So that's why we're so tight. And also, furthermore, being on a cruise ship during a pandemic where socially distancing is super encouraged, like we really just didn't have a choice but to spend all of our free time together. Things have gotten so much better in that department, and we have been able to make friends outside of, you know, our department and yada, yada, yada. But we spent a lot of time together, and it has been nothing but a privilege to love each other this much. I'm going to miss everyone so much. Like, I need to shut up because we get it. Like, you're in love with your cast. Lovely. Even my friends and family who have come to visit have said that there's something special about this group. Like, everyone truly does love everyone. And it wasn't until like I was saying bye to my boyfriend the first time that he visited, which was back in like, I don't even know, like pretty early on, about 6 months ago. He was like, babe, like you have this amazing cast and this amazing group of people and like you're going to be fine. Because, you know, I didn't want to say bye. It was when I said bye to him the first time in Toronto, I was a fucking basket case. And then I was even worse when I had to say bye to him 6 months ago, because I knew it would hit. Like, we did 4 months without seeing each other, and I just was like, this is somebody that I spent the last 2 years of the pandemic with every single day. You know, like, I love my boyfriend. I don't want to be away from him, but I also love myself, and I love my job, and I love my career, and it's just a sacrifice that you need to make, and it's okay that it's hard. It's okay. You should cry, teeny, when you say bye to him. Like, cut yourself some slack. You're allowed to miss your person. And he was just like such a friendly reminder of like, I'm not lonely. I'm not alone. I have this entire family here. I'm bragging. I'm really bragging, eh? Like, not every actor has the luxury of being with such an amazing group. And not every cruise ship performer has a luxury of being surrounded by such major people. Okay, let's keep going here with the highs. So I love my cast. I love the shows that I'm doing with my cast. I love kikiing with my cast. Lovely. So the next high would have to be the obvious, which is getting paid to perform. And this goes without saying. It's the whole point of becoming an actor. It's to actually book work and jobs that pay you to perform. What a fucking concept. And so I play these kick-ass roles. I stay in shape with these roles. I have a blast on stage. I'm a full-out no-marking kind of person. So I'm obviously a full-out no-marking kind of performer. And I just love going to the dressing room every single day and kikiing with my girls and getting ready and putting on my makeup and doing a show and sweating my ass off and just like being tired from working so hard and being able to tell a story and know that that's how I'm going to be paying my bills, by playing dress up. And the audiences on the ship are lovely. They're awesome. There's a lot of children. There are a lot of people who have never even seen theater before. And being able to tell these stories that everybody loves so much is, you know, just a lovely, another high. Like, just what a fucking concept. I can't believe this is my life sometimes, you know? And it's the whole point. It's everything I've always dreamed of as a child. So, also, while we've been on board, you know, we went from having socially distanced audiences with masks to not socially distancing with masks to no masks and no socially distancing. Social distancing? What a tongue twister. And so to be able to like have these guests and these audience members take off their masks and we can see their faces and see how they're being affected by the stories that we're telling on stage, by the songs, by the dancing, and just like standing ovations versus not having a standing ovation. Doesn't matter. Like, they're still loving what we're doing. I mean, for the most part, there's always those jerks in the audience, but you know, it's just like, it's been pretty remarkable to see, to be able to see like, okay, great. Like I am doing this for a reason, because the show that I did pre this, you know, during the pandemic last summer or whatever, you know, it was in a small theater and the audience had to wear masks. And as much as I can see people smiling behind their masks, like, your eyes are storytellers for you, let's be real. But like, I just get to see people's faces and people laughing, and it's just like, it's that much better. So that's been really great too. I guess the most epic high of this contract, and a huge reason why I took it in the first place, is the traveling and the itinerary. It's a dream of an itinerary. We have been everywhere and I have done everything, like, not to brag, but you guys know me, like, I live my fucking life and I'm just a girl who can't say no. Even though no is a complete sentence, I have said yes to every activity and every port adventure and every night out. Great. I have gone to some really big bucket list places. So let's circle back. So at the top of the contract, in February, we did not have shore leave because of COVID. I did not get off the boat for 2.5 months. So during that time, we started in California, we did the Baja, we did Mexico, and then we were doing the Panama Crossing, the Panama Canal Cruise, which is a 2-week cruise where you go through the Panama Canal and the locks of the canal, you do South America, you do Mexico, and I was able to see Colombia. I really did want to get off in Colombia, but we weren't allowed, so I did get to see the city from afar. And then I did go through the Panama locks, which is the man-made canal. And I don't know if this ship is ever going to be doing this again. So it was pretty cool. And like, who's done that, you know? And I remember a bunch of us got up really early and we were out on the crew deck at 6 a.m. and we were taking it all in. And it was just like, it was really cool. And then sailing through the canal, like, it's stunning. And it was so hot. It was so hot. It was that, like, hot, like, you know, oh my gosh, what's that called? The middle of the planet. What? Oh my God, guys, help. Have I gotten stupid? The equator, being so close to the equator, like, you could just like feel it. It's the most south that I've ever been. And we got shore leave just in time for, drum roll please, Hawaii. Yes, I went to Hawaii on this contract. I've never met a bitch who, you know, said they didn't want to go to Hawaii or Hawaii does not interest them. So the fact that I got paid to go to Hawaii is truly like la creme de la creme. And my best friend Lee Hollis, who you all know, he got to come along. He visited me. So he flew into Honolulu and joined the ship. And so basically what it looked like was we did 5 sea days from Vancouver over to Hawaii. Then we did 5 days in Hawaii, picked up new guests, did another 5 days in Hawaii, and then we did 5 days back to Vancouver where we lost, you know, an hour of sleep every single night, changing time zones. Quite the experience. Don't worry, we still went out. And I was in Hawaii for 10 full days and I was able to do a bunch of the islands. So we did Oahu, we did Maui, we did the Big Island, and then we did Kauai. Kauai being my favorite, the Garden Island, so stunning. Like, Hawaii is everything that you think it is. It's city meets beach meets incredible food and just like relaxed vibes, but also high energy vibes and just like the cultural differences and the fresh fruit and the beaches and the mountains. Like, it's actually like, what the fuck? People live here. People have the option to live here. Like, I know it's wildly expensive, but I just wish that Canadians had this like option. I wish we had an island like everybody else and we were able to experience some hot weather every now and then. You know, what a concept, Canada. obviously eternally grateful to be Canadian. Thank you. But there's just no Florida. There's no California and there's no Hawaii here. And that's what really pisses me off. But that being said, I got to experience Hawaii and Lee Hollis was there too. And there's nothing that we didn't do. Like, we did it all. Resorts, pools, rented Jeeps, convertibles. We did the volcanoes. We did wineries, hiking, waterfalls. The waterfalls are spectacular in Hawaii. What else did we do? You know, late nights, early mornings. We did a luau. Wasn't my favorite part of the trip. But, you know, we did do a luau. What else? And just my cast. Like, everybody was just, like, unhinged in Hawaii. Money was no object in Hawaii. And it was the ultimate high of the contract. There are two experiences that stand out to me. And I do want to... I do want to share them with the group, with the podsters. So the first one is, there was this day in Maui that Lee and then my friend Ben and Diego and I went on a little adventure. We had rented a Jeep that day and we stumbled upon this restaurant called the Fish House. Now the Fish House, it's in Maui. It's one of Maui's top restaurants and it's actually one of the, you know, top 10 or top 20 restaurants in the United States, according to Google, of course. And I kind of knew it was special when we stumbled upon it and we weren't able to get a reservation that day, but I knew that we were coming back to Maui. So I put in a request on OpenTable and I got this message that was like, oh, you can't get a table here. Like, people book a year in advance for this restaurant. And I'm like, what the fuck is so special about this restaurant? Well, it's nestled on what feels like a private beach. There's no such thing as private beaches in Hawaii. Like, everything is public, but because it was kind of in this little like alcove, it felt very private and there was valet parking. I was like, I'm sorry, what? We can't just park our own car. Like, what a luxury, but why is there valet parking? And then I walked into the restaurant and then I knew. So basically the way we got a table was because I had put a request in on OpenTable. And then that morning, once we came back to Hawaii, I got a notification and for whatever reason, my Wi-Fi was cooperating that day and I booked the table. Someone had canceled a table last minute. So us four had the plans to go to the Fish House and basically it's this like stunning tiki kind of vibe, you know, outdoorsy, overlooking the ocean. And the menu is curated each day based on what the fishermen catch and the chefs go to like buy or whatever. So they create the menu based on what they catch that day. And so the seafood is like super fresh, caught that morning. And it is that good, like melt in your mouth fish and seafood. And the drinks were just like stunning and delicious with fresh fruit. And we were like vibing, guys. We were not okay that day. Like, we knew it was expensive, but I truly didn't think I was going to spend this much money. But essentially, we just kept ordering drinks, ordering appetizers, food. And we were like, don't care. You don't die with your money, which I think is like there's something liberating about having a day in a moment like this. And I do live my life like this. But once the bill came, like, it was just so fucking funny. We were dying laughing. We spent $750 on lunch between four people. Great. Like, don't care. I will never forget that moment. One of the best meals I've ever had with some of the best people. Done. Go to the Fish House if you're in Maui. It is worth it. It is worth the hype. It is that major. And tons of celebrities go there. And it just like, but it didn't feel like that. It wasn't obnoxious, if that makes sense. Like, the vibe still stayed within the realm of like, you know, it wasn't hoity-toity, if that makes sense. Oh, okay. The next highlight of Hawaii was the helicopter tour that I did in Kauai. So Kauai is the garden island. It's super lush. It's super green. It's less like city slicker vibes. And everyone was saying, like, if you go to Hawaii, you have to do a helicopter tour. And I had every intention of doing that. And my two friends here, Tamaki and Ash, they were like, you have to do it in Kauai. Like, you have to do it in Kauai. And I was like, okay, like, shouldn't I do it in, like, Honolulu or, like, Maui? Or no, you have to do it in Kauai. And I spent, like, hours calling people. I wanted to do the helicopter with Lee Hollis. I was like, we're going to do the helicopter. And there was nothing available. You know, there was no room. Everyone was sold out. And finally, the day before our last day in Hawaii, I called this one place. And they were like, listen, we have room on our helicopters, but you guys will have to fly separately. I can give you a crew discount of $100. Normally, this is a $400 helicopter tour, but you will have to go. You'll be like the fifth person in the helicopter, and then your friend will go on the next one. So we weren't able to do the tour together. Okay. Well, you know, of course I want to do it with Lee, but at the end of the day, I get to do this major ass helicopter tour for $100. I'm in. So we were very hungover when we did it, which, you know, I do not recommend because I did end up puking in the helicopter, but it was still one of the coolest things I have ever done in my life. And I like to think that I've done cool things. So basically the helicopter takes you down to Jurassic Falls, which are the waterfalls. Which are the waterfalls that are featured in Jurassic Park. And I can't even comprehend. Like, my eyes were like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And just like the rolling landscape of Kauai, the Amalfi Coast, which is only, you can only go there by boat or by plane, by like water or air. Some people do hike it, but it takes like days and hours or whatever. And it's that major. Like, it's truly spectacular. I'm trying to think what else we did like within that. Yeah. And that you can see like mountain goats and just like it. I have a reel on my Instagram, so go take a look, but it was by far the coolest thing I did in Hawaii, and I highly suggest, recommend, you must do it. You have to do it. Like, you just, like, if you're going to Hawaii, you got to do it. End of story. The reason why I did get sick was very different from the helicopter I've done in Alaska, but this helicopter specifically, because it goes up and down, up and down, up and down, and it kind of, like, hovers in the valleys. We went to like the wettest place on planet Earth, I believe. And it's just like super misty and super wet. And they want to give you that experience. So the helicopter just kind of hovers. And when they hover, that's when you're like, when your stomach goes like, ugh! And it's just like not a very smooth flight. And so that's why I got really nauseous in addition to the drinking. But, you know, I was living my best life in Hawaii, so don't care. It's going to take a lot to impress me moving forward. Like, I have really seen a lot of cool shit. I sound like a piece of shit, but it's the truth. So great. So after Hawaii finishes, we drop Lee Hollis off. Bye, Lee. Have a nice life. We started the Alaska season. So I have been in Alaska since the middle of May. And it's been really great because it's like we've been here for so long that I was able to take my time doing everything. Of course, when we first got here, it's like scarcity mindset. You feel like you have to do everything at once. You have to get off the ship at 8 a.m. Thank you, Ben. And you need to do all this crazy shit. But really, you do have a lot of time. And it's 7-day cruises. So with Alaska, we start in Vancouver. We sail up the coast of BC. So we do like a full sea day. And then the next day, we do Glacier Day. So we take the boat into Tracy Arm Fjords or another fjord, and we go right up to a glacier. And it is truly magical. Depressing because you see how it's just chipping away and I'm sitting there on a cruise ship, a part of the problem. But it is stunning. Magical. And we've been really lucky to have these really beautiful glacier days. And it's just like, what am I even looking at? Like, this isn't man-made. This is just the world doing its thing. Thank you, Mother Earth. And thank you to the cruise line for giving me the opportunity to see this. Lovely. So we will do Glacier Day, which is like a super magical sea day. And then the next day we do Skagway. And the day after that we do Juneau, which is the capital of Alaska. And the final port day is Ketchikan, which is the salmon capital of the world and Alaska's first city. And then we'll do one more sea day and then we're back in Vancouver. So it's been that schedule for the, you know, a huge chunk of my contract. And do not sleep on Alaska, guys. Alaska is truly something else. And until you see it and until you spend a significant amount of time there, you sleep on it. You're like, Alaska, like, beautiful. I'll never go there, but I'm sure it's amazing. Go there. Book the trip book the cruise because it is that major. And it's not even that cold. Like, everyone has this, like, idea that it's freezing. I mean, as a Canadian, I'm biased, but there were days where I was in shorts and a tank top in Alaska, which, again, also worrisome, global warming. But I've had these really sunny, beautiful days in Alaska, and most of Hawaii was overcast. So it was quite funny to come from Hawaii where, like, you know, it was cloudy a lot of the time because it was rainy season. And then we get to Alaska and we're in shorts and a tank top. And I'm like, what is going on? Universe, what is happening? So Alaska, let's talk about Alaska a little bit. Obviously, the seafood and the crab goes without saying. The seafood is something else. Like, the Red King crab from Tracy's Crab Shack in Juneau is that big, is that good, is that buttery, is that succulent. Must do. The hikes are really fantastic in Alaska. It's also a free, cheap activity to do. I've done these, like, really cool boat rides. I almost died. My friend, who's a Port Adventures manager, took me on a little boat tour in Ketchikan where we drove our own, like, I guess you call it, like, an ocean raft. I call it a dinghy because that's how small it was. And we basically almost capsized. Yeah, I almost died that day. But, you know, like I said, I like to live my life. And I've also been fishing in Ketchikan, which was really spectacular. It was really something else. My mom was here celebrating her 60th birthday. And so we found this captain. Again, everything's by, like, word of mouth in Alaska. Like, don't book those super pricey tours. Like, get off the ship and meet people and talk to them because they have a friend of a friend of a friend who can help you. And basically, Captain Bill of Ketchikan took Mom and I out on a 6-hour halibut fishing tour. It wasn't quite salmon season. It was just on the brink of salmon season. So we did halibut fishing instead. And I caught a fish as soon as I threw my line down. And I'm not, like, a fisherman, right? So he's, like, showing me how to reel it in. And I got a bruise, like, right next to my crotch, because that's where you, like, put the rod when you're reeling it in. And I reeled in a 40-pound halibut. Just saying. Pretty major. And want to know the coolest part, guys, is that we got to send the fish home. So I got to catch my food, which is how things really should be, and I got to send it home. And so when I get home to Toronto, I have these, like, frozen fillets that I'm going to cook up, and I'm going to cook the fish that I caught in Alaska. Like, truly, truly iconic. And the captain was actually telling Mom and I that people will come up for, like, a couple of weeks and do a ton of fishing, and they'll catch all of their food for the year, and then they'll send everything home. And so basically they flash freeze it for you, and they vacuum seal it, and they send it back home, and then they have their food for the year. Like, that's, like, so crazy. And we're just so backwards as a society. That sounds crazy, but that's like catching your food. Like, it's not farm raised, it's not pumped with a million fucking, you know. Ugh, it's just like, I'm really grateful that I got to do that, because I get to taste what that fresh fish is going to taste like, you know? So I did that. I've done a glacier helicopter tour in Skagway when my boyfriend was sailing for the second time. He was here with Layla and Jordan and all of my people. And we took the glacier, we took the helicopter up to the Mead Glacier. So basically you get in the helicopter, you go up over all the mountains, it's spectacular, it's breathtaking, and then you land on the glacier and you do this, like, glacier walk, and you just get to see that this something, I'm standing on something that was, you know, that's, like, hundreds of thousands of years old. And I got down on my hands and knees and I drank the glacier water. Talk about elite water. You guys know I'm a water snob, and I hate plastic water bottles, and this was that good. Like, I wish I had brought a water bottle with me, because that water was truly something else. Super cold, but so fresh and so, like, crisp. Like, I can't even describe it. I'm getting thirsty just thinking about it. Ooh, whale watching. Iconic activity to do in Alaska. Luckily, we do get to see orcas and humpbacks from the ship a lot of the time, but I do highly recommend doing a whale watching tour in Juneau. I think it's the whale watching capital, and you will see whales. I haven't seen a whale breach yet, which is devastating to me because that's all I've wanted to see is like a whale jumping and breaching, but it's kind of rare. You know, they were saying that it's mostly like the babies that do that. And at the end of the day, we can't commend the wildlife. They're just there living their life and we're there watching. So it is what it is. I've seen a lot of tales. Lots of bald eagles. The wildlife is stunning here in Alaska and it's pretty untouched. Like, of course, we've colonized everything and humans ruin everything. But I do think that the locals and the state itself does a really good job of protecting the wildlife and conserving. Like, there was a lot of rules when we did fishing and there's a lot of rules about how far we can go in to see things. The last thing that I've done, that was definitely a highlight. It happened early on in the season. My friend took me on a seaplane to the Misty Fjords and we landed on this secluded lake that's only reachable by hike or air. And it was fucking insane. This just like pristine, untouched land. And it was magical. It was a magical day and I was not hungover. So I really got to take it all in. And highly recommend. So yeah, enough of me like bragging. I just really did want to give you guys a look into how incredible taking a contract like this can be, because you will see shit that the average human being will never see. You will experience things that you never could have dreamed of, all while being paid. So like massive high. And I have one more week in Alaska and I'm really gonna try and see some bears. That is the one thing I have not done. I have not seen any bears. And I do not want to leave here without seeing a bear. I am a horrible Canadian. I have never seen a bear and I have never seen a moose. How dare. Now, my final high, everyone, would have to be, you know, facilitating magical moments and vacations for all. Once we got shore leave and once things got, you know, a little more relaxed on the ship, I had a lot of friends and family and my boyfriend come visit, which is a massive privilege and a huge perk. And they've been able to experience all of these amazing things with me. They may have been able to come see my shows and support me and enjoy the ship and enjoy these ports of call. My mom was here celebrating her 60th in Alaska. We did so much, that amazing fishing trip. And then she came back with my dad like for their 35th wedding anniversary. And we made that just as magical. They ended up going on the helicopter to the glacier. They renewed their vows. It was really, really cute and really special. My partner's come to visit twice. He did Mexico and then he did Alaska with our good friends, my besties, Layla and Jordan, who I miss so much. They were able to come with Layla's mom and Layla's stepdad. You know, Lee Hollis has sailed. I've had other friends sail and other mutual cruise line friends have come. I'm hoping I'm not forgetting anyone. I just like, it's been so long. And I never want to upset anyone because I'm an empath and because I'm a people pleaser. So if you've come to see me and I've seen you, I love you. Yeah, so facilitating these magical moments, of course, and these vacations for people is a massive perk and brings me a lot of joy. And I've been really lucky to have my, you know, most important people be here. Oh, Matt Raffi. Matt Raffi sailed. Matt Raffi's going to Broadway, in case you didn't know. And so my first trip back home is going to be New York City, going to see his opening. Can't wait, baby. So proud of him. So he was able to come here on his break and experience Alaska, and we had an amazing time as well. Now, really quick, before we move on, I do want to talk about my fifth and final high, which is time. I've been here for a really long time, and I've had a lot of time to think and a lot of time to grow and a lot of time to do me. And I truly believe that is a gift. That is something that I was craving. That is something that, you know, a lot of people won't get the opportunity to have in their career. As an actor, it's hustle and bustle and hustle and hustle and hustle and look for the next job and audition and never take a break and always say yes. And when you can be booked for a significant amount of time that you don't have to look for different or more work for a couple of months, that is a break. That is the vacation. You know, working is auditioning and booking is the vacay. And so I've really had a lot of time to just chill. As much as it's been a high stress environment for me being away from home and having the roller coaster emotions, it's really been a challenge and a gift to just sit, shut up, and listen to what you want. You know, time is the only non-renewable resource that we have, and we take it for granted every single day, and we need to just like trust that we're in the right place at the right time. You know, be present with yourself. Enjoy the day for today. Stop fucking stressing, guys. Like, I truly wish, I think I'm going to do an episode on things I learned in my 20s, because once I turned 30, I really stopped giving a fuck. And I can't wait for everyone in my life to kind of reach that place, because it's just like, it's so liberating to know that the universe really does have your back. Manifestation, but it's the truth. And the sooner you start realizing that, the sooner you will chill the fuck out and live your best life with your authentic self. Great. So now that you all know what I've been up to since February, living on a boat, living my best life, challenging my demons and performing for a living, which is just like truly insane to begin with, let's get into what I really want to talk about, which is no is a complete sentence. So again, I wanted to start this podcast off by apologizing to all of you for leaving you hanging for so many months, because again, I had every intention to keep releasing episodes once I started rehearsals for this contract, and I had every intention of doing, you know, being able to record a couple of them while I was out here. But that's not what happened, and I need to unpack why. So when I first accepted this contract, I had a lot of anxiety about leaving, like just in general, right? I had been locked up for 2 years, life was really hard, and just leaving my partner behind and just feeling like something bad was gonna happen. And now I think that was my intuition telling me that my cat was gonna die, but that's a story for another day. And basically, I just had a lot of anxiety about leaving in general. Is this the right choice? Am I doing the right thing? And I knew that I had to go because it's an amazing opportunity. And also I wanted to save a certain amount of money, and I didn't save money for 2 years, guys. I'm not lying to you. Like, I did not save money for 2 years. And there are goals that I want to hit, and there are things that I want to do, and I want to buy a fucking house. And so I said, I've got to come. I'm going, and that's that. And so the podcast was really fun to dive into when I had time. When I was not working, I really was able to throw myself into it and just like be able to have these really amazing interviews and be present and be in the moment and talk about things that I want to talk about and entertain all of you. But because I started rehearsing for this job and getting really overwhelmed and going through a lot of personal shit in my life, I got super distracted. I got super overwhelmed, and it stopped being fun. Like, I don't want to admit that, but it really stopped being fun. And I was like, this isn't fun. This feels like work, and I don't want this to feel like work, because then the podsters are going to feel that it feels like work. And so I kind of just stopped cold turkey, which isn't what I wanted to do, but it's what happened. And I'm really grateful for it. Like, looking back now, I'm like, holy shit, I know what I was doing wrong. I was trying to please everyone, okay? I was trying to, you know, be what everyone wanted to listen to. You know, I wanted to give everyone representation, the LGBTQ and the spiritual community and, you know, the sobriety versus, you know, drinking versus addiction. I was trying to do it all. I was trying to please everyone. And that's just quite literally not possible. People aren't, not everyone's gonna like you, which I know. But I was like, I'm putting out this podcast and I want everyone to enjoy it. I want there to be something for everyone. And that's not a thing, like, especially with podcasts. And maybe some people will think that I made a mistake by not knowing what my niche and topics and goals were with the show. But ultimately, I just wanted to start a podcast. I wanted to help people and I wanted to entertain people. And I truly think that I did that. But I'm ready to hone in what all of that looks like and come up with some concrete goals and concrete plans for what the show is going to look like. And now that I've taken a break, I realize that that's what I was doing wrong. And that's amazing. Again, what a fucking gift. All part of the journey. It's like, I want to hear from you guys. What do you want me to talk about? Like, quite literally, because at the end of the day, it's my podcast and it's me that people are listening to. And sure, I can have all of these life-changing interviews and give everyone representation and kind of like, look at this person's crazy story. It's going to make you cry. And that's amazing. But at the same time, what's the goal here? What's the long-term goal? And what are the little goals along the way? So lots of growth happening here on this boat. Are you okay? Fuck no. So yeah, that's kind of what happened. So the reason why I'm really driving no as a complete sentence home is because it's okay to say no. It is okay to not want to do something, and it is okay to not do it. Okay? I'm not talking paying your bills. I'm talking like saying no to that friend, saying no to that event, saying no to paying that amount to go and do something because it's going to derail you from the goal that you have. Do you know what I mean? Like, you really just have to put yourself first in this world, because this world and this society and social media has fucked all of us up that we need to do it all and we need to have it all. And it's really okay to want to sit on your couch and watch Netflix all day with your cat. Say yes. Stop feeling guilty. Stop. Like, it's going to literally drown you. And that's another thing that I really like to drive home on this podcast is boundaries. And we were talking about all of those things. But again, I think I was just scratching the surface. And having been away and seeing what I want, I'm like, wow, I was drowning. And so I said no. I said no to the hustle. And I said no to pleasing my audience. And I said no to having to upkeep all of this shit. And I took a break. And I want to apologize because that's who I am, but I'm really going to try not to. I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. And I am really excited to be back here. At the top of this episode, I feel like I was like motor mouth and I was just kind of like running my mouth and I didn't really know how I was going to, you know, communicate all of this. But I think I'm already doing better, okay? There's a lot of progress here. And there was a lot of progress with my show. It was building and I was getting better at better interviewing, and I still want to have those interviews. I still want to have those conversations, and I just want to keep layering on this. And so I'm really excited to see what's next. When I get home, I'm going to do my best to just put my mask on before I can put anyone else's on. But again, it's who I am. It's like breaking those habits. And it's also an aspect of myself that I love. I love that I care about people. I love that I'm an empath. It makes me who I am, and it makes me a better person and a better performer. But at the same time, it often derails me from what I want and what I need. So again, something that my boyfriend is constantly reminding me of. Stop, teeny. He's just like, he doesn't understand. He's like, what's wrong with you? Like, I will cry watching an old man cross the street. Like, that's literally not normal. That old man is fine. I'm sure he has had a lovely life. And if he hasn't, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not our fault. You know, we are doing our best. I really want to believe that everyone's doing their best. And if they're not, fuck you, okay? Because I'm doing my best. So that means that you should be doing your best. The narcissist of it all. Ooh, speaking of narcissism and narcissists, I just want to talk about something my friend Ben and I do on this ship. So, you know how like hot girl walks and rich mom walks, which comes from my favorite influencer Tinks. So these are walks that like girls go on, right? To like start their day. I'm going for a walk, going for coffee. I'm putting on my Balabans, going for a walk, mental health walk, yada, yada, yada. A lot of walking took place during the pandemic, and a lot of walking is still taking place, which is great. And so Ben and I will go on what we call narcissism walks, a narcissist walk. And we're not narcissisms. Like I'm not a narcissist. I know this to be true. But we go on these walks where we are just like, it's when we're like annoyed or we need to like talk about long distance or something that's like pissing us off on the ship. And we'll go on a walk and we'll just like talk about what we do have and how incredible we are and like what we can focus on and like how major we are. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's the truth and it's what we do. And then it makes us feel better. And we usually have a little something in our turvis. If you see me with a turvis, just saying, it's probably not tea. So yeah, that's a narcissist walk. I think all of the podsters should go on one. You guys should challenge yourselves to go on a walk with a friend or a family member or somebody that you trust that you're close with, or even just yourself and talk to yourself. And just like talk about what you do have and what you can focus on and what you're excited about and the things that you like about yourself, because it truly will make you feel better. Gratitude, everyone. You know how I feel about gratitude. Gratitude is like the root of all majorness, of all love, of all happiness. We need it to survive. which takes me to my next segment. I want to talk about mantras. So my favorite influencer, Tinks, I've been like obsessed with her podcast. Go ahead and listen to it, guys. It's called It's Me, Tinks, and she always talks about mantras. And it's something that I've always been really into. Like when I went through the biggest breakup of my life, was drowning, was dying, great. I used to go on Pinterest and like look at quotes to make myself feel better. I used to literally look at quotes, like, you know, like heartbreak quotes and love quotes and inspirational quotes. And honestly, just like reading a sentence can be so comforting because there are quotes for a reason and there are mantras for a reason. It's because it's true and they work. And so ever since I knew I wanted to kind of do an episode like this to recap my contract and recap my growth and give the podsters an inside look as to where I'm at, I had this like little note in my phone, like in my notes app, where I would just like jot things down about what I wanted to talk about and like little sayings, little mantras and things that have happened to me over the last couple of months. And so I'm going to outline some of them for you, and we're going to try and cap off this episode. There are a lot of things I didn't touch on that I did want to talk about, but I feel like I've been running my mouth for a little too long, and I feel like you guys are all going to be really overwhelmed by my like word vomit and narcissism. So I'm just going to like finish off with these mantras because they're really special and they've gotten me through and they've really like hit home. First mantra, we can do hard things. Something I've shared with the cast here and everyone I come across is like, we can do anything, so we can do hard things. That one goes without saying. It's self-explanatory. The next one is, you are your problem, but you are also your solution. Which goes hand in hand with the narcissism walks. It's like, okay, listen, you're having a hard time with something, you're the problem, or you did this, or you need to apologize, or this happened, but at the same time, you are your solution. You are the only way out of the problem. So go on a walk and unpack how you can fix it. You are your problem, but you are also your solution. This is a good one that I've come up with. This is my own little recipe of, I will never be here in this moment ever again. Stand in it, no matter what it may be, yada, yada, yada. So I wrote that one. So basically that goes hand in hand. I think I said something along these lines at the top of the episode, but like this moment is fleeting. Time is so fleeting. I will never be on a boat in Alaska with this group of people telling these stories on stage ever again. Sit in it, embrace it, enjoy it. Done. Next one, treat yourself and talk to yourself just like you would your closest friend. So my favorite influencer, Tinks, taught me this one on her podcast episode. And it's like, you know, when you're like struggling with something, or maybe you fucked up, or someone pissed you off, or this guy never texted you back, yada, yada, yada. It's like, give yourself advice and stop beating yourself up. Like, talk to yourself the way you would talk to your closest friend. When your friend comes to you with a problem or is upset, you are like, you just want to hold them like a baby, and you tell them like you just make them feel better. You talk to them because you love them, because they're your friend, and you would never speak to your friend like shit. And if you do, you're not a good friend. So bye. But talk to yourself like you would your friend, because that's a big one. We do so much negative self-talk in our heads. Anytime we do anything that's like doesn't align with like the plan or our beliefs, I like beat myself up. And I consider myself a very confident, level-headed person. Like, I do like myself, and I still catch myself doing shit like that. So that's a big one. Treat yourself and talk to yourself like you just would your closest friend. Done. This is a funny one. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I think we can all relate to that one, and I'm not going to explain. And the final one that I'm going to talk about, which goes hand in hand with gratitude, is that gratitude is a vaccine, an antitoxin, and an antiseptic. John Henry Jowett. Jowett? Not really sure. But this mantra, I came across it in one of the latest self-help spiritual books that I read. It's actually the sequel to The Secret, and it's called The Magic. Now, the first episode of my podcast, I unpacked The Secret, and it being the reason why I started the podcast in the first place. Now I want to talk about the magic, and then I want to shut up and leave you guys all alone. So The Magic, guys, is the sequel to The Secret. And basically, it's a book that gives you tactable, tangible things that you can do to level up your gratitude and your abundance mindset and the law of attraction. Because The Secret simply unpacks what all of that means and how you can like start implementing it into your life, and all of these stories about people who have implemented it, and all of these like amazing leaders and spiritual guides and yada, yada, yada. But this book gives you like actual exercises, chapter by chapter, and how you can transform your life and like level up the gratitude. And we all know I love to level up here on Are You Okay? So this book was actually gifted to me by my uncle back when I was going through a really hard time, right after I had read The Secret. And I've tried to do it multiple times. I've brought it with me on almost every cruise ship contract. I brought it with me on vacations, like with every intention of starting it. And I've never finished it. I've started it a couple of times. And the thing that's challenging about it, guys, is that with every chapter, you need to go for 28 days straight. And if you miss a day, you have to go back 3 days. So it's kind of a bitch. And if you're not in the right place to do it, you're just not going to do it. And then it's just not going to work. So when July hit, I decided to do it. And I said, okay, I have no guest sailing. I have all of July to commit to this book. And it would be the first thing that I read in the morning. And it would start with listing 10 things that you're grateful for. And sure, that gets annoying after a while because you're like, I'm running out of things. Okay, it's the same thing every day. But you have to start your day with that. And then there's a different exercise with every chapter. And it's 28 chapters. One like covers relationships. One covers money. One covers health. And it's just like, it's truly just looking at everything that you do have and everything that you were given in your life. Like, you know, whether you had a tough childhood or not, there were things that you were given that gave you the tools to survive and succeed. And we need to be grateful for all of it because all of it led us here. And so I highly recommend this book, and that's where that mantra came from. And I'm going to finish with that. Gratitude is a vaccine, an antitoxin, and an antiseptic. So that's that. We can do hard things. We're all so fucking cool. We're all great people. We're all doing our best. We're all major. Don't care. Great. Very good. Ooh, one last thing. I have no idea what I'm doing next. I have no idea what the next year of my life looks like. Terrifying, but so fucking exciting. And I'm so excited to take you all along with me.